You're listening to the Better Men Podcast, a No Deadbeat Society project. www.wearebettermen.com.
The views and opinions expressed on the Better Men Podcast are those of the host. Viewer discretion is advised.
You're listening to the We Are Better Men podcast. My name is Leyland Dieno. This is episode 17. I think we just put, we just got our other one up last night. I'm already putting out another one. This has been a long time coming because I don't know how many months ago it was, but anyways, a bunch of months ago, I was able to connect with a documentary producer and creator Cassie J, and it was right after her movie The Red Pill. It kind of caught some serious buzz, and there were a lot of playings throughout the world, and there was some media buzz and some backlash and some controversy and things like that. But I managed to squeeze in a really short conversation with her on the phone, and interview her a little bit and ask her some questions, which was really cool. If you're not familiar with Cassie J or The Red Pill, basically what she did was she created documentaries and some pretty good ones too, actually really good ones. But she leaned into feminism mostly. She aligned with feminism, and that was kind of her path. And then I guess while she was exploring that, she ended up seeing the world of men's rights activism. And I don't know what she set out to do, what the goal was at the original concept of the documentary, but she ended up interviewing a whole bunch of extreme feminists and a whole bunch of men's rights activists. And then by the end of it, she no longer identified as just a feminist. She kind of supports both sides. And I think that that's really important. You know, there's right and wrong everywhere. And, you know, feminism is an extremely important thing, and we do need it. But any extreme can cause issues. And it's the same with men's rights activism. You know, there's a lot of good guys out there working on things, you know, supporting young boys and men, you know, oppressed men across the world. There's, you know, everyone, every gender, every type of person in society can be oppressed or can be going through struggle. And it's important that we reach out and we create programs and systems to help everyone. But that being said, there's a lot of on the extreme side that is hateful and hurtful. And she kind of wanted to explore all that. So she did. She met with a whole bunch of some very controversial men's rights activists, interviewed them, asked some tough questions, put a documentary together, did like a video vlog throughout. And at the end, she decided, hey, I'm not just going to identify as a feminist anymore. I'm going to kind of be neutral, see both sides and just realize that these are two movements that can probably work a lot better together than they do apart. And that's exactly how I feel. I think that feminism and men's rights or I don't even know if it's men's rights so much, but just support for men and boys. If those two movements or those two parallel thoughts were to sync and work together, I think society would be a much better place. But let's jump right into that interview.
In my encounters, I've met a lot of guys that were very angry or at the system, or at like basically two groups, guys that were really angry or guys that felt they had been victimized. I was just wondering if there was like anything, mm-hmm. if there was one common thing between all of them that you could think of.
I don't know with all of them, but there are some traits that I did see duplications of between people that I thought was fascinating, but I wouldn't say it was all of them. Okay. For instance, many of the men's rights activists that I interviewed were actually feminists before they found the men's rights movement. And I think it was just because of their interest in gender politics and having that kind of lens, looking at the world through that lens of how are the genders different. And so they knew about feminism and even considered themselves a feminist. And then when they started to learn and were passionate about men's issues and tried to bring it into feminist groups to discuss, they would be shunned out of the group. So, but it wasn't all the men's rights activists, but Warren Farrell was one of them. Paul Elam was a feminist before he was a men's rights activist. Fred Hayward was a feminist. So I thought that was interesting, but As far as
Interesting, yeah.
anger, I don't think I would say all the mental health activists I interviewed were angry. I think they were more just compassionate
yeah.
people for men and boys issues who, and not all of them even had a personal experience happen to them. But they saw that there was a need to help men and boys.
Oh, interesting. Definitely. Okay, I'll move right along. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you're busy. Was there one conversation you had? I know there's probably a ton of conversations you had off that didn't end up in the documentary. Was there one conversation you had that like really impacted you, like just more than any others, like a person's story or anything like that?
Gosh, I mean, every interview had those impactful moments. Sorry, I'm
no,
reference something so long ago.
As I said, like I don't really know what I'm doing, so what I've done is I've built something that gets a lot of reach. I'm not like so. If this question is way off, just you can feel free to tell me that makes no sense. It's all good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it would just take me too long to try to go back into my memory bank and think through
okay.
every interview and which one, because every interview did have something that was like
yeah.
a light bulb moment. But I know Erin Pizzi was very eye-opening for me,
yeah.
meeting with her, and Warren Farrell and the idea of male disposability. I'd never thought of that before. And it's kind of, when you learn about it, you start to realize it's all around us. We just never talk about it.
Every story, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of a personal question. Do you think that there's a like a middle ground between feminism and the MRA movement, and somewhere in the middle that like would kind of balance this out? Like I think of it as a like politics. You know, you have the right and the left, and I personally feel that somewhere in the middle there's the truth that would really just appease everybody. Do you think that there's something like that, or do you think the issues are just too far apart?
I think there can be a middle ground. And I think many people in life who aren't heavily involved in gender politics, I think they would consider themselves fairly middle ground. They wouldn't be extreme radical feminists. They wouldn't be an MRA, but they do care about these issues. They're just not educated on many of the issues. And I think that's a lot of what the men's rights activists are trying to say, is that feminism has dominated the gender politics discussion. So we all know, even if by proxy, what women's issues are, you know, and kind of the plight that women have and the difficulties and, you know, trying to identify sexism against women and stop that. But we don't really talk about or educate each other on what are men's issues. But I think a lot of people would fall in the middle if they were just educated on all sides. And I definitely think women or people who identify as feminists can also identify as men's rights activists if they wanted to. I think labels are something that you should choose for yourself, and also understand that, you know, they kind of come with different definitions based on who you're asking. But that's why I've decided to not pick up any label. I don't consider myself feminist anymore. I don't consider myself a men's rights activist, just because of the implications that it puts on those labels from people from all different walks of life. So I, you know, choose to be label-less, but I would say I'm somewhere in the middle. So yeah, I definitely think, you know, people could be, have a foot in both camps or all camps, or just be a free agent in the middle.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you think it's possible? Because I found myself like I agree with a lot of feminist ideas and but also the MRAs, because I, you know, fatherhood and my story or whatever is yeah. So that was good to know. And that kind of leads into my next two questions were just basically if a young, you know, university student, male and female, were both heading down a direction of, you know, identifying as either a feminist or a male rights activist, would you? I'm assuming your advice to them would just be to attain knowledge on both sides, because you kind of just explained that. But is there anything else maybe you'd say to them, or?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I guess to the men's rights activists, I would say, you know, as a disclaimer, whenever you're talking to people, you have to acknowledge, or it's better to acknowledge women's issues up front, so the person you're talking to knows that you do understand there are women's issues and that you care about those. But now you're just adding men's issues to the discussion. And then for feminists, I would say, you know, it's great to care about women's issues, but when men do try to speak about their issues, don't blame them for their problems. Don't blame patriarchy, or don't blame all men for men's issues. And in that way, discredit any kind of compassion for them. So, you know, I think as long as we understand that, you know, people can get defensive when talking about gender issues, it's best to, you know, kind of approach those discussions with understanding for all perspectives, and also letting the person that you're talking to know that you do care about their issues as well. You're just trying to bring up women's or men's issues to the discussion, you know?
Yeah, amazing. That's awesome. I don't really have anything else. I apologize again for this not being like a...